Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
All right, Ivy Podcast listeners, you are tuning into another very special episode of the Female Empowerment Series. I am your host, Angela Alberti, and if you have had a chance to tune into any of the episodes that I've done, then you know a lot of the people that I have a chance to speak with are really involved in the world of the workforce ecosystem. And more recently, we've been able to sit down with some very incredible women and female leaders within the space, and that's certainly the case for today's episode. So sit back, relax, and hopefully we'll have a great dialogue on today's show. Katie, can you tell the audience a little bit of yourself and your background so that they have an idea of who we're going to be speaking with?
Sure, happy to. And thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm excited for this conversation. My name is Katie Breaux. I am the Senior Vice President of Growth and Impact at UPRO, which stands for Year Up Professional Resources. And in my organization, we help connect employers looking for amazing trained, vetted diverse talent with our database of over 30,000 opportunity talent candidates.
Awesome.
Like many, I kind of fell into staffing, but really the core of what staffing represents has always been my passion. I always wanted to make a really big difference. I wanted 2 pages in a world history book for the impact that I was able to help make to make the world a better place. Yes. And I truly find that in staffing.
That's awesome.
A little bit of my career path. I started in policy and politics in that same vein of wanting to make a difference. I actually had a short stint as a professional, a really unprofessional chef. I, you know, could not cook a thing to save my life. So that was a good lesson in failing and what you can learn from it. But then ended up mentoring a young adult through a program called Year Up. And this young adult was in this year-long program to gain skills to be successful in a corporate job. And I was so struck by how determined this young person was to get to internship on time, to hand in assignments on time, to have a really strong professional brand, and the grit that she demonstrated to really earn a position at her internship. And it just made me want to get more involved. And one thing led to another. I joined our parent company, Year Up. And now here I am at UPRO, helping to connect our alumni with their next opportunities.
I love the timeline. It's from politics to culinary professional and all the way up and through where you are right now with UPRO. And certainly a lot of wonderful things to say about this industry and staffing, which, you know, doesn't always get the best reputation or I guess there's a certain level of notoriety that comes with it. But there's individuals like yourself that are truly making a difference and understand the livelihood that's at stake when we have the opportunity to impact a person and their family and their children and how that can change the lives ahead. Certainly something sacred about what you guys do. So thank you for that. And also shout out, you know, you are SIA's work, at least for last year, I think it was 40 under 40. So I think it says a lot about what you choose to represent within the industry. And it's fascinating to me how you started this journey, just becoming a mentor to somebody and seeing that willingness to go above and beyond and have them perform well. One of the things that we've noticed through this new generation is really the value of upskilling. And I'm sure you saw that from that very first day where you did mentor with them and how much they want companies to invest in their own skill set. And we're seeing that sometimes they take precedence over that certain featured benefit more so than health insurance. Can you speak to a little bit more about UPRO's distinctive approach when it comes to upskilling the talent pool that you guys work so hard to curate?
Absolutely. So, you know, when I think about what I knew going into my first job, I knew that you work really hard in high school, you graduate, you go to college, you get your first job, and then your career takes off from there. Yeah. And that opportunity was afforded to me because of a very generous scholarship from the college I applied to. But not everybody has that same opportunity to have that sometimes, oftentimes six-figure price tag for a four-year college education. But that doesn't make any individual less qualified for certain occupations and certain jobs, and there are other pathways. And so one of the things that our that UPRO stands for is a skills first hiring approach. And that means really looking at what are these entry-level middle skill jobs seeking for in the talent that they're hiring, and what is required, truly required, to be successful in those roles. And that's where upskilling comes into play, because the skills that employers are oftentimes looking for aren't actually really connected to a degree. They're connected to, you know, professional skills, communication skills. With the IT sector, some basic IT help desk skills. There are programs and boot camps, one of which is Year Up, our parent company, to help get young adults from where they are after graduating high school to where they need to be to meet the expectations of employers seeking entry-level talent. Mm-hmm. And so UPRO places talent who have gone through upskilling programs, some of them a few weeks, some of them many years. But the whole purpose of why we are placing this talent is because we are partnered with employers who recognize that upskilling is a career path, that upskilling is a pathway to these entry-level jobs. In addition, once they're on assignment with us and are in our network of talent, we are offering upskilling to continue to build their resumes and continue getting them to that next level in their careers, and certainly always advocate for continuing their education. But there are other paths.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how you guys are taking a really deeper, almost dissecting what employers are qualifying as necessary skills and questioning whether or not that's the traditional applicable four-year university bachelor's degree applicant that's needed for that. And we think about just setting the landscape of college grads or, you know, young adults in general, crippled in university debt, knowing that there's so many different alternative forms and certainly more economical. And hey, I'm guilty of this too. I graduated with debt. And so I know what that's like, but how much more so that's increasingly non-affordable for them in these days and age. How do you guys curate the talent pool? How do you guys attract and really get the word out there that there is this alternative option? Is it by word of mouth, or do you guys have partnerships with campaigns? How do young adults know about UPRO and what you guys do in general?
Great question. So we're actually partnered with many training providers who offer this upskilling as a prerequisite before being placed by UPRO. But these training providers are out in their communities. They are, it is very much word of mouth. There are many campaigns, just to name a few, for Scholus, Generation USA, CareerWorks. These are some of our partners that are in the community sharing, are you looking for an earn and learn opportunity? Mm-hmm. We can help you get to where you're looking to go, and here is the average salary for a job after completion of our program. So they're out there spreading the word about their programs. But then with UPRO, we're also redirecting them to these training programs. And we have our own work-based learning program that connects opportunity talent with these entry-level pathways through our employer network of incredibly supportive, forward-thinking companies who recognize there's some things that people can learn on the job, and we are willing to invest in that time. One, because it helps expand and diversify their talent pipeline. But then two, because they know it's the right thing to do, that if there is an entry-level job that can be met with a work-based learning experience, they're committed to that. and extending that to talent who needed an alternative pathway.
Yeah, true symbiosis. I mean, in terms of the relationship, the networking, the leveraging that you guys utilize with these partner associations and you know, the other way around, really, when it comes to that. It's interesting to me to see how there's this resurgence, and it's almost refreshing to know that the young talent down there can rely on resources like that. Can you talk to about how this sort of model can really hone in on an enterprise organization's DE&I initiatives?
Absolutely. So there's so many amazing companies out there who are committed to DE&I.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the very, when you think about the structure of what that looks like, there is, you know, the decision makers at the top who are committed to this vision of DE&I. And then bringing along the leadership of their organizations to really commit to ambitious DE&I goals. But then really, oftentimes the challenge is, how do you take that commitment to action? And one of the most impactful and effective ways to do that is, again, to think about skills first hiring as your how you hire new talent into your organization. And then also thinking about, what are those career pathways within an organization? And so skills-based hiring takes the form of work-based learning opportunities, takes the form of revisiting job descriptions and seeing what really is required of a position and also what might be turning talent away from that job description. Mm-hmm. When I think about DE&I, I think of that as the goal, but then oftentimes the how is a big missing component, and where UPRO comes into play with that part of the how is a skills first hiring approach, and really helping to support and be a partner in helping our partners reach their DE&I goals.
Wow, that's very impactful to know that these different initiatives that you guys are doing to curate your own talent pools, to make sure you're taking a second lens at whether or not universities are required, but to see the result of that and how that can diversify truly the makeup of a workforce population is absolutely inspiring, to me at least. I go back to, you know, when I was able to co-found my BasePay and our team, and us really going back and taking a second look at professional experience, university requirements, and some of the best hires that we've made. And I feel like what's helped us surpass our growth were folks that were in a warehouse, at a fast food restaurant, that were just given the opportunity to come in and work for us. So it's something that I hold a lot of passion behind. And I know that you as well do, Katie. Can you talk to a little bit more about the foundational elements of a professional and what you guys do and some of that training, perhaps behavioral, to help form and morph that young adult or that go-getter into the fundamentals of professionalism?
Of course. So I know that when I went into my first job, again, I was incredibly lucky to go through the college experience. I have a wonderfully supportive family. My family wasn't from corporate America.
Right.
My mother ran a fantastic daycare. My father started his own business. But I didn't know what the norms were of the corporate environment. And I learned many times the hard way about how you're expected to dress, how you're expected to act. I thought that schedules were optional. I don't know why I thought that, but I did. And so really what our training providers are doing is they treat how to be successful in a professional environment as though, you know, someone's visiting a new country, you know, really helping to educate through these trainings what is expected in the workplace. I'll give you an example from our parent company, Year Up. So Year Up through the 1-year program has what they call a contract. And the contract very explicitly states the behaviors that are expected in the professional environment, and it's connected with a point value. So that in a really tangible way, young adults who might not have been in the corporate environment before, which obviously would include many of those who just graduated high school and were seeking an alternative pathway, really connects the impact of behaviors with consequences. So if you do not hand in a homework assignment, that's 10 points. It's quantifiable. If you are late to a meeting, that's 25 points taken from your contract. If you do not show up at all and don't notify anybody, that's 50 points. And so really explicitly laying out, here are the expectations in a way where an employer hiring entry-level talent might not think to really lay out for somebody. There's kind of this expectation that comes with privilege of knowing what is expected in the workplace. And our talent, they are incredibly smart. They want to learn. They want to be successful. And we just help. We like to say they are the plane. We are just the runway. And very much try to build that runway for them to be successful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And there's certainly a significant part that's done beforehand to ensure that these placements are, morphed. I like the word morph because I just see myself graduating from high school or college and knowing what I had to go through and learning lessons, just like yourself. And I love that example, into a professional and the fundamentals of professionalism. Now let's take it a few steps forward. You've gotten these placements, they're at client locations even potentially. What do you advise to the client so that you can have this continual workplace learning sort of culture where they are investing into the individual and perhaps the reskilling of the individual to make it really a conducive environment all throughout the life cycle of a important role for talent?
So that is where our coaching model and our emphasis on the importance and value of feedback come into play. Mm-hmm. So we always know we have the right partner. This actually just happened the other day. When they are asking us, oh goodness, we were really excited to have a UPro talent on our team. And we want to make sure that this is a successful experience for them. What do we need to do? And that is absolutely the right question. A manager wanting to make sure that they are doing what they need to do to offer support and help to connect the start of the assignment to a successful, hopefully full-time employment opportunity. And so to your question, we have a team of coaches who coach our talent throughout their assignments with our partners. And they're not just speaking with our talent, they're also connecting regularly with managers to get feedback so they can offer just-in-time feedback to our talent, but then also sometimes offer feedback back to the manager. So listen, you're expressing to me right now that you're incredibly frustrated that John comes in 15 minutes late every single day. Have you had a conversation with John? Oh, no, you haven't? Okay, well, here's how to deliver this feedback to John. And so oftentimes, again, and I've seen this outside of my time with UPro, sometimes managers will just get frustrated, understandably, not know necessarily how to deliver that feedback or know that they should, that they need to deliver that feedback. There may be an assumption that somebody already knows what they are or are not doing to meet expectations. And then suddenly someone's terminated, right? Wow. We're here to help connect every single moment of every growth opportunity to feedback, coaching, and then action plans were needed. And that's why we were so proud to win the American Staffing Association Award for Best Workplace Learning Program because of that coaching and curriculum that we offer.
That's incredibly invaluable for myself as a leader and knowing that sort of coaching can be available to clients because, you know, let's face it, let's think about the reason why most people quit. I read a study, I can't recall the actual stats behind this, but let's just say it was a vast majority that are walking away from their jobs because of their direct report and potentially feeling like it's an incommunicative and toxic environment. So offering that coaching that can really leverage and just address retention in general is fantastic. And I'm sure that you know, you guys have enabled something that really helped the client, which is why, congrats, by the way, y'all won that award. I didn't know that. That's pretty interesting. I want to go back to the DE&I topic, mm-hmm. because obviously this has been a topic that has been in many, many different HR chat rooms. I mean, pop open LinkedIn. And I go back to that moment in the pandemic, and we were all sitting in our homes and we saw what was happening with George Floyd. And it kind of almost set this precedent on DE&I and you know, not to bring up something super negative, but with the positive that has come through the course of the pandemic and the last few years is this initiative and this push for DE&I. But just with anything, there's a dichotomy to look at. There's the advantages, the disadvantages. In your opinion, can you walk us through what some of those advantages are on a staff with a diverse blend of folks and applicants? And then when does it become a problem?
Of course. So you're absolutely right. There was a silver lining, an opportunity, after George Floyd, and that was a renewed, and actually not even renewed, but a sometimes for the first time sense of urgency mm-hmm. and importance with hiring diverse talent and what that means and what that looks like. And that is only a positive thing. Recognizing that there is a need to have a DE&I strategy and that diverse voices, opinions, employees, adding diversity in any aspect of a company's culture will only improve. If you can point to one study where you see this DE&I strategy, you know, really decreased revenue. It's not, it's really
doesn't exist, right?
Doesn't yeah. exist. It's going to add value. There's an idea out there if somebody wants to try to make that study happen, because it will be a failed initiative, I'm sure. But to your question about where it goes wrong, I don't think you'll find too many folks who will argue that DE&I isn't valuable or mm-hmm. isn't important. But really knowing what that looks like and what that means takes me back all the time to what does it mean to take commitment to action. For some, taking commitment to action is saying, all right, I want this percentage of employees that look this way and this percentage of employees who look this way. And it's about checking a box and it's about setting numbers. And that's not really the spirit of DE&I. And I appreciate that, you know, just for the desire to have an impact. Oftentimes you want to attach a number to it and you think diversity and you think skin color. Like,
yeah,
fine. We're here to help support our employers understand that it's not about skin color. It's not about, I see this campaign now that says, I am not your diversity hire. Like yeah. it's happening. That's yeah. where we are moving towards, because it is becoming very transparently about checking boxes, meeting numbers. And really, if you truly believe that diversity, equity, and inclusion is a critical part to your culture, to the growth of your business, and quite frankly, to attract talent to your organization, then you're going to realize that that talent out there who is diverse is incredibly skilled, incredibly talented. If you can remove the barriers and focus on the experience, that you will have a diverse, you will hit those numbers mm-hmm. by virtue of the fact that you are looking at people for their skills, wow. Instead of, you know, from a four-year college,
a checkbox,
right?
Wow, that's awesome. So let's take it a little bit further and personal, if you will. You're a new mom, as I understand it. You're balancing a career, and a fantastic organization out there trying to make a difference, and knowing that none of us have this figured out. So I want to preface the question with what has just worked for you simply on just levels of staying organized on top of it all. Anything that you can give maybe to the audience listeners right now that may be struggling with that?
Oh, wow. Great question.
Yeah.
How to stay organized. Well, I couldn't take too much credit for any perception of staying organized. I am incredibly lucky, incredibly blessed to have the most amazing support system in my husband, in my family, quite frankly, of my nanny who is downstairs right now watching Tom and he is absolutely in love with her, but then also of the team that I'm on. So thinking about company culture and what it means to attract talent, UPro is incredibly committed to walking the walk. And, you know, we have just an incredibly supportive team here that comes from the top with our CEO. So as a new mom, she was incredibly supportive and actually turned off my email so that there's a photo that my husband took while I was delivering, and it's me on my laptop just trying to wrap things up, not like in labor, like just trying to wrap things up because I'm so committed to the work that we do and our mission. And it's if there's ever a free moment, I'm just, when you're in this work, you don't want to let an opportunity slip by because it's one less job that somebody gets to get. But she was so
they turned off the light switch on you.
She turned off the light switch. She jumped in. She was a ghost Katie and wrote emails on my behalf and just incredibly supportive. So I don't know how I could be this organized. I'm incredibly disorganized as a new mom, but could at least put on the facade without my network, without my community. It really is a village.
Yeah, it does take a village. And you are absolutely correct in having that support system and what that can do for the overall health, mental health, the ambitious professional out there trying to make a way, and also be the mom or the hope that you could be a great mom to that new little infant. So awesome to hear that. Now, when it comes to the future of work, and we hear this phrase often in our world, and we're probably living in the future of work right now, considering what's happening and how talent is delivered and how quickly that's evolving around us. But I almost ask this question often because I feel like it's very subjective to the person, but what does that mean like to you? What do you want the future of work to embody for, what's your son's name? Tom, I think you mentioned?
Tom, yep.
Yeah. What do you want the future of work to be like for Tom when he does make it out into the workforce?
I think about this all the time. Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, I want him to have the opportunity to enter the workforce and pursue whatever that passion is. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But in a way where not only is he, where he is valued for his skills that he brings, and I'm starting to sound like a broken record here, but it's that I live and breathe it every single day.
Yeah.
And he will, by virtue of sacrifices made for me and the position I get to be in with my career, he will grow up with privilege. And I want him to enter a workforce where that privilege doesn't give him such a competitive advantage over somebody else who might be just as skilled and just might not have had the right opportunity.
Yeah.
And I want that to be normal for him. And that crosses over every aspect of diversity, equity, inclusion. Like, it was a wild moment for me to realize I was having a boy because for some reason I just assumed I was going to have a girl and I was going to raise her to be a strong woman and teach her to advocate for herself. And I didn't have a preference. I just hadn't really contemplated, oh, wow, I'm going to have a boy. Mm-hmm. And I want to teach him, you know, how to, like, how you see people and how you interact as a human being on this planet in a way that is respectful. And and similarly, to extend his privilege to help others who might not have those same opportunities.
Went
on a really long tangent there about,
no,
like, about
I mean,
this all the time.
Goosebumps over here. And I just want to take a second to let that marinate in the mind of our listeners. Your response to that was not only for your son, but for the lesser privileged applicant that will be working alongside your son. And that is truly, truly inspiring. So Katie, thank you so much for that. Now, when it comes to your content diet, and this is This is a very personal question because we are in the information age. And it just takes 1 second here for the ones that are listening in on looking at my phone to go into a deep, deep black hole, which we have to be mindful of, right? But very selective, just like we try to be in our regular life, maybe a little bit more healthy. And we do that with our mind. But what are you staying up to date on? What does the content diet consist of? Maybe when it comes to things happening within our industry, within our realm of work, any advice out there? Maybe what you're reading up on?
Absolutely. I will say first and foremost that while it is important to stay abreast of current events, I am not following necessarily the day-to-day news. And I feel like that's important to say, because I remember the first time I heard that from this incredible female leader, and I thought, wow, that is really ignorant. but I get it's distracting.
It is.
Oftentimes. So I try to stay up on current events, but as far as my content diet, now, I'm on LinkedIn following my network of people who I admire and seeing what they're posting. I'm listening to podcasts all the time. Big fan of yours.
Thank you.
You have some fantastic speakers.
But
I have podcast channels that I subscribe to. I love Brené Brown. Mm-hmm. She's a really inspirational one. And I just try to stay continuously in a place of learning with, you know, how am I leading? How am I showing up? How am I managing? But then also, what can I do better in my role to support our mission? So staying up to date on current DE&I trends, staying up to date with how to attract talent, staying up to date with why people are leaving their jobs. There was this great report that just came out about the top reasons why, after the Great Resignation, they tracked, I love data, I'm a huge data nerd. They tracked why the top reasons why people were leaving. One of those reasons is actually because of a lack of professional development and upskilling, which just ties into again, why we invest so much in what we do. Anything that I see on LinkedIn is generally a rabbit hole, to your point, of following, you know, what are the trends in our industry right now?
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I am also a data nerd, a fellow data nerd. It's great to see that high level overview. So where can our audience find you? If we want to get in touch, if we want to check out maybe what Europe or UPro is doing, how can we get in touch with you?
Follow us on LinkedIn.
There you go.
We have our website that is a continuous, wonderful work in progress, www.upro.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn. We are also present on Instagram and Facebook. So we're all over social media. We would certainly welcome the opportunity to have a conversation if anyone wants to learn more about how to hire opportunity talent and how to take a skills-based approach to hiring.
Skills-based approach to hiring. Love it. It is the way of the future. And it's exciting to see that you guys are playing a part in that. Katie, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm almost sad to wrap up because it's been such an inspiring conversation, but really appreciative of you spending some time with us. And thank you to our listeners as well. I say this genuinely as we wrap up every single show, but time is the most valuable gift that we can give to one another. So thank you all for spending some time with us today. Alrighty, guys, we'll see y'all on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.